If you desire an honest world, you must stop lying to yourself. Placing hope in shill politicians will damage your psychological health. Hope and change will not occur. While your mind is warped on Obamacare, this play by them is Hegelian dialectic at its finest. We should focus on breaking the chains that they use to bind us. They view us as cattle and try to lead us to slaughter. We sometimes pay attention, yet deep down we know we'd ought to. Ignore the Matrix, ignore their tricks, ignore their lies, and ignore their fiat drug fix. The answers you seek lie inside you, not from politicians that seek to blind you. Chin up and go forward with truth, soldier. Don't be a pussy. Make your words bolder. The 100th monkey is on the verge of awakening. What will you say to this person as they're shaking? Blessed are those that seek the truth. Blessed are those that shun the voting booth. Look at all the love and abundance around you. Prepare and plan to start the world anew. Ignore the shill politicians, my American cousins. Love and Godspeed. From Gareth. Now, obviously, I didn't make that up, folks. My name is Ryan Brooks. This is the Sound of Freedom podcast number 3, and I wanted to start it off with a little piece that's brand new this morning over at don't-tread-on.me by a fellow Silver Bullet, Silver Shield member, Gareth. Ignore the politicians, he says, and how fitting that is right now, October 1st, 2013. I want to thank all of you for tuning in to this podcast here, and I hope that wherever it finds you in a good way. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, however you're listening. I hope you're doing well. Got a lot of great stuff lined up for you for this podcast. We've got Brother John F. with an economic forecast and to cover some information that's being let out. What's really going on? What should we be worried about, focused on? I'm going to let the interview do the talking. Always great with Brother John F. And then we've got Mr. Ole Damgaard for the first time ever from lightonconspiracies.com. A very interesting discussion with Ole Damgaard. I think all of you are going to enjoy it. So we're going to get right down to it. All right, folks, I've got a very special treat for you right now. We've got a new guest, somebody that you have not heard on this broadcast, and I'm really excited to have him here with me today to talk about some very interesting subjects. Who I'm talking about is Mr. Ole Damgaard. He is a researcher, prize-winning author, investigator, former journalist. He's got his latest book, Coup d'etat in Slow Motion. And you can check that out over at his website, lightonconspiracies.com. That's lightonconspiracies.com. Mr. Ole Damgaard, how are you today?
I'm very, very blessed. Thank you.
Well, hey, thank you for joining me all the way live from Spain right now. Yeah, that's where you are right now. Spain?
Spain, southern Spain. We live in here since the year 2000 because... Before that, I spent many years looking into the assassination of the Swedish Prime Minister, and the deeper I dug into the truth, the more I found out how dangerous it is. And I also lost two friends in Sweden, so I found that it was time for me to leave that country and go somewhere else. And so that's why we moved here.
Can you tell the audience, just give everybody, so we're all on the same page here, can you just give us some background from yourself? I mean, what have you been doing, and what has led you down this path that has brought you where you are today as far as what you're researching and why? Just some background for everybody, if you could.
Well, it's been a long journey. My body was born in Denmark, but I grew up in Sweden, and then I've been living in England and Iceland and now in Spain for the last 12 years. And I think it was... When I grew up, my dad and quite a few of my family, my granddad and grandmother and so on, they were involved in the resistance movement in Denmark during the Second World War against the German occupation. And so I grew up with all these stories from the war, how they were smuggling weapons in baby cots and all of these things. I grew up with them, and also with the deep conviction is that You have to stand up for the truth, what is right and what is just. It's very important to stand up for that, even though it can be shit scary many times. And so that is part of my genes, I think. And then I worked as a journalist, like you say, for quite a few years, but on a low scale. It was in a local newspaper. And what I learned there was, I think, was to listen to people instead of talking all the time, and really trying and learning how to extract important information, and not just buy into whatever I was being served. And this has taken me down on a path where I've become, like many others these days, a truth seeker. The only difference is that I started in the early 1980s, and most people are waking up now. So I have an advantage when it comes to this, because I've been down this road for a long, long time. And I think it was I'm 55 now, but I remember when Kennedy was killed. I was just a little boy by then, but I remember the impact it had on my parents, and also with the Cuban missile crisis and so on. And so Kennedy, without me knowing it, became like an important name when I grew up, because he was standing for a lot of the beautiful ethic ideals and so on. And then I think it was in the early 1980s, the first time I came across the Zapruder film. And when I saw that he was actually hit from the front right, the final headshot, I just felt, my God, something is so wrong with the version that we're being fed. So I started looking into that just because I was interested, but I ended up becoming almost obsessed about it. I think I read like a couple of hundred books and so on. And the more I looked into it, the more confused I got, because it was so complex. And so it was like looking into a labyrinth on top of an enigma inside a safe box where somebody had thrown away the key and dropped it in the sea. It was so difficult to understand what actually happened. And also when I was reading all of these books, I've stumbled over quite a few names where in one book, one person was described as having worked for the CIA. In another book, he was connected with a Chicago mob. And in another one, he was being paid by FBI and so on. So it got very confused. And I thought, what's going on here? But in the end, I found out that all of them were true, that the same person were actually working for the CIA, but deeply involved with the mob, and also being funded by FBI, and sometimes even working for the Secret Service. So it was like, whoa, 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 what is going on here? And so I just kept getting more and more into these things, because at that time, this was way before the JFK film and so on. So very, very few people were really interested. There was some groups in the States and a few in Europe, but not very many at all.
And this was the 1980s when this was going on, right?
Yeah, this was, yeah. I mean, Kennedy was killed in the early 60s, but
right.
I sort of woke up in the beginning of the 80s. And then the more I looked into the JFK assassination, the more interested I became of the Robert Kennedy assassination, Martin Luther King, Abraham Lincoln, and so on. And it was almost like after a while I was starting to see like a clear pattern of how these political assassinations were carried out. It was almost like a bullet point list of how to commit a political hit on a very high level, and how to get away with it, how to just dupe the public eye into believing that something totally different had happened than what actually occurred. And while I was getting into this more and more, in 1986, the Swedish Prime Minister, Olof Palme, was shot down in the street by, once again, a lone crazy guy. It's always a lone crazy guy in these conspiracies, because if he's alone, then by law, you can look at it in one way. As soon as there's more than one person involved, it becomes a conspiracy if it's planned, and then the legal actions have to be different. So they always try to get away with one person. And the reason why they always want him to be crazy is because then they don't need to look for a motive. You know, then there's no need to start digging into why was this person actually killed. It was just the assassin was alone and he was crazy. He just went up there and shot him, and case closed. Boom, bury the guy, let him rot in jail or whatever, but case closed.
It's interesting to see that, the way you're describing it, because we see even in 2013, 2012, they keep running the same playbook in America with the Colorado, excuse me, the Colorado Batman movie shooter, the single guy who was crazy, and that, you know, case closed. We see the Navy shipyard shooter, one crazy guy, case closed. Sandy Hook Elementary School, one crazy kid, case closed. It goes on and on and on. So I just find that's very interesting that you came to those conclusions, especially so early on as compared to where we are today. Could you reveal to the audience some of these links that you found, these links between these big political events like JFK, RFK, John Lennon, MLK? I mean, are these all have you found in your research that these are actually all related or intertwined in some way?
God, yeah, they're deeply involved, they're deeply interlinked. Like I say, then the Swedish Prime Minister was gunned down in the street. And what I discovered was that I thought, once again, it was a lone crazy guy that shot the Swedish Prime Minister, and I thought that I grew up in a beautiful democratic country where everything, there was no corruption, where everything was working the way it should, that the police were the good guys that you could trust and all of it. So I thought, my God, lone crazy guy, they're going to get him within a few months and that's it. Everything's going to be solved. But then after a little while, I started seeing, whoa, something is very strange here in Sweden as well, because I started seeing that even in Sweden, the same things were happening in the exact same order as in the other assassinations. So I was able to predict, following the bullet point list that I had made from the other assassination, I was able to predict what was going to happen in Sweden, that within, I can't remember what it was, but like within the next 2 weeks, they're going to come up with this new evidence pointing at the Patsy or whatever it was. And very surely enough, within a few weeks, boom, that was the next step they did. So that really freaked me out, because I thought, oh my God, what is going on? And from that point on, I started studying these cases on a totally different level, because if they were following the same template in Sweden as they followed in the States, and also on different assassinations in South Africa, in Chile, in Argentina, in Germany. And so I thought, whoa, wait a second, because how can they follow the same if they are not connected? So I started looking from a higher point of view. And this, you're asking about connections. I tell you, one of the things that is really important to see that this is beyond country borders. There's an international global elite that is pushing forward what is called the New World Order nowadays, that more and more people are becoming aware of. And this group of this power elite it consists of handpicked people from most Western countries, if not all of them. A small group of them, they're not that many, I think they're about a couple of thousand in total, but it's hand-picked people from different countries. But it's like, if you take a country the size of Sweden, for instance, with a population of 9 million, with only a handful of people, like 8, 9, 12, 15, but in the key positions, you can control that country more or less. If these people are within the key position in media, industry, communication, royal family, journalists, and so on, and industrialists and bankers. With this handful of people, you can push your agenda forward much more powerful than people are aware of. And this is what they've done country by country by country. And also, like I say, this is above country levels. That is why I think one makes a mistake if you say, well, the states did this, or England did that, or France did this. You have to see that this power group are connected, and on an invisible way, invisible. They're interconnected with Freemasonry. They're interconnected in different groups. Like, there's three major groups a bit up. It's like a power pyramid, and way up in the top, not at the absolute top, but way up there, the three main groups that I have focused on a lot. It's the Council on Foreign Relations, it's the Trilateral Commission, and it's the Bilderberg Group. Once you become aware, I cannot emphasize enough how important it is to find out the members of these groups. The Council on Foreign Relations, you can go, they got their own website. The same with the Trilateral Commission, they've got their own website. And the Bilderberg Group. The members of these groups are the ones that are pushing forward the world into this super controlled, very violent, dark place, instead of the natural involvement of the human race, which would be to go towards a beautiful, harmonious, wonderful place to live. This group is like a bully in a schoolyard, and they're the ones terrorizing the neighborhood. But they're not very many, so I feel super optimistic about the future.
Well,
No, you were talking about... I can just say some of the key people in this group on the American side, there are people like Henry Kissinger, George Bush Sr., the Bush family is very, very central in all of these conspiracies. You got the DuPont, you got Rockefeller, you got J.P. Morgan. On the English side, you got Tony Blair, you got Margaret Thatcher, you got many, more or less most people in key positions today in the Western world are somehow involved in this. If not on an aware level, then they're intertangled and controlled by this group. They have moved forward so powerfully over so many years that really working on the concentrating the power to fewer and fewer people. And nowadays, they really succeeded because we are so controlled by a very small group. Anyway, if I can go back, is it okay if I go back in history a little bit?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay. What I found was that these hit teams, it's not only that it's the same power elite behind, I can say my research has found that it's the same power elite, the same group of people behind the JFK assassination, the Martin Luther King assassination, the Robert Kennedy, the Malcolm X. You got Bob Marley, you got John Lennon, you got the Swedish Prime Minister, Olof Palme. There's loads here in Europe. There's a whole string of assassinations here in Europe. And you got people like Robert Smith in South Africa, you got General Carlos Prats in Chile, you got Salvador Allende in Chile as well, and so on. It's a long, long, very violent series of acts that this group have been carrying out for many, many years. And what I found is totally astounding, I would say. But there is a group that has been central in doing, carrying out these different atrocities. And in the early 1960s, it was President Dwight Eisenhower. He was getting very worried about the development on Cuba, where Castro had taken over the country of Cuba and thrown out all of he was throwing out the mob, he was throwing out many of the big American financial interests. And before that, Cuba was like a massive haven, you know. They were just making billions and billions getting into the military-industrial complex, but also the mob and the government and all. It was feeding all of that. So when Fidel Castro came in, that became a big problem. So Dwight Eisenhower, he gave one of his partners on a lower level, a man by the name of Richard Nixon, he was given the task to form a hit team. It was a very skilled team of assassins. This group was called Operation 40, and they were named Operation 40 because there was, to start with, there was only 40 members. This group was mostly Cuban exiles, but also with some of the big guys from the CIA. And what they did was that they made this group to like a almost like a cannon pointing towards Fidel Castro. They wanted to get rid of him at any cost. So at the same time, they brought in another guy who at that time was not very well known, George Herbert Walker Bush. He was put there to help financing this group of assassins. He was getting money from some of the companies that had been thrown out of Cuba, but he was also getting from the oil tycoons in Texas and so on, plus from the military industrial complex. So he was the guy who funded this group. On his right hand, the guy he was using was another exile Cuban who was part of this Operation 40. His name was Felix Rodriguez. And if you study the Iran-Contra scandal, he is one of the closest people to Oliver North, because this group, Operation 40, was big time in the Iran-Contra scandal as well. They were also the Watergate burglars, the people involved there, and so on. I'll go back a bit. Anyway, so here we have a skilled team of assassins. They were trained, and they did several attempts on Fidel Castro's life, even though they never succeeded. But what happened was that in the meantime, John F. Kennedy had won the election. It was very, very close between him and Richard Nixon. There was only 100,000 votes. And he won not totally clean. His dad was involved with the Chicago mob, and Kennedy's dad was gathering votes through the mob that made him win the election. So that was not totally clean, even though I deeply believe that John F. Kennedy was the last real elected president, because all the row of presidents ever since have been part of the force that killed him, slaughtered him, and has stayed in power since then. They have just changed the puppet face in the front of this big war machine that has been in place ever since. Anyway, so this team was put together, and then what happened was that JFK was the elite was fine with him. You know, he was very pleasant, and people were very happy, and there was a great atmosphere of optimism, and the military industrial complex could just push forward without anyone even looking at them. But then came the Cuban Missile Crisis, where the people from the army and once again this military industrial complex, they saw an opportunity to get one of these big wars started. It's very important to understand that the agenda of this group is death, war, and destruction. That is the name of their game. They do not seek peace. They do everything they can to create these conflicts on a global scale and keep them going, 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 making billions and billions, and at the same time just getting more and more centralized power, while normal people are being murdered right, left, and center. It's a really an awful game that's going on. But so when during the Cuban missile crisis, it came to a point where there was a ship with missiles going, a Russian ship with missiles going towards Cuba, and the American government said, if you cross this line, if you cross that latitude, we will start a nuclear war with you. And by mistake, the ship passed that line. So Kennedy was more or less sitting with a finger on the buttons, being the one that could have started this whole Holocaust. But people who were there, the military people were like, go, 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 press it, press it, press it. But people who were there said that Kennedy was sitting with tears in his eyes and just said, I refuse to be the one that had done this to the world. And after that point, suddenly Kennedy became somebody that this global elite could not trust anymore. He just took off in a totally different direction. And from being an easy guy to get around with, to manipulate and so on for this group, suddenly he became this very strong, convinced individual who decided to crush the CIA in 1,000 pieces. That was totally unheard of. He decided to withdraw out of Vietnam, which was, I mean, it hadn't even started there. There was only like 16,000 advisors at that time, American advisors. And it wasn't even the Americans' war. It wasn't your war. You had actually nothing to do there. It was a French war,
right,
that this group just took over to be able to get a conflict going again, and also for the drugs and so on to be taken out via Vietnam. Anyway, so also he said, I'm going to get away from the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is very crucial in their agenda. It's a totally, I cannot say how criminal company. I don't even want to say it's not federal, this federal bank. It's just the name. It's a private bank cartel that is keeping the American people by the throat financially. It's very important to look into that if you're not aware of that, and to look for all kinds of ways to get out of the grip of this bank reserve. Anyway, so Kennedy said, we need to get out of the grip of this federal bank reserve and the Federal Reserve, and also start printing our own money interest-free for the population to get the country out of debt and so on. And there were many other reasons as well.
Just quickly, and I don't mean to cut you off, Ole, President Kennedy signed Executive Order 11110, where he basically started issuing debt-free notes that were backed by silver. Is that what you're talking about there?
That is exactly the one I'm talking about. That
do you
one.
Do you think that that's kind of like the final nail in the coffin, the final straw for these has-been powers that shouldn't be, who decided after the nuclear fiasco and the crushing of the CIA, you know, the comment that Kennedy made, and then comes Executive Order 11110. From your research, was that kind of the final straw where they decided, okay, he went from being our guy to not trustworthy to now we're taking him out? Is that what your research has led you to find?
What I truly believe is that when you commit or you push forward a conspiracy of this size, it takes a lot, you know, to carry it out. It's very complex. And so to do it, you really need a big reason for it. And very often it's not only one reason, but it's a whole lot of different reasons that just gets the sort of fills the glass so that the water goes over the edge. And with Kennedy, I think exactly what you're saying, this one was the final one. When he said that, because that is right to the center core of their control, that was the one that just said, shit, we need to stop this guy, and we need to stop him now, and we need to make it in a way that will just scare the shit out of anyone to do something similar. So that is why, in my opinion, they took him out in broad daylight, in
right,
front of cameras, people, everything. They could have just put a pill in his coffee, but they chose to do it so publicly. Same with Jack Ruby, how he shot Oswald, to just say to anyone, anywhere in the corridors of power, we can take anyone anywhere at any time, so you just back off and stay in line. And that is also why I think that after these conspiracies happen, there's this almost like a second conspiracy of silence following, you know, you from the official government, you don't hear anything except the official version. That's it. They pump that up. Look at the Patsy, look at the Patsy, look at the Patsy, look at the Patsy. Anything else, it's just silence. Silence, silence.
Right.
I'm not saying that people in the corridors of power, that they know the details of the assassinations. Absolutely not. But they know the power behind it. And they know that anyone that starts speaking up or sticks their head out will be taken care of. They have a very violent way of dealing with people. And I mean, there are hundreds of people that have died around the Kennedy assassination. Witnesses, journalists, people involved, you name it, police officers, and so on. And it's the same in Sweden. Lots of people have died in mysterious car accidents or committed suicide fully dressed or shot themselves in the head from behind with a shotgun. And you know, these type of things.
Now,
so it's scary business to get into.
Absolutely. And you know, I just had a conversation with my mother the other day, and she was a child when the JFK assassination happened, and she can remember it very clearly. And she actually just got done reading a book about who really killed Kennedy, and she told me the book just made her absolutely depressed to know that there is so much information being withheld from the American people, the people of the world, really. And to think that this is going on 50 years ago, what scares me, Ole, is the fact that people my age and younger, kids in school and stuff, they don't even know who JFK is, and why does that matter? So I think it's critical to understand also the fact that it's already kind of lost into the memory hole, just the way these powers that shouldn't be want it. And that's why I think it's also so critical that folks like yourself are not letting fear get the best of you. You're going out there, you're putting the truth out there. As far as JFK goes, because I want to get into Martin Luther King and some others here in our historical timeline, where do you recommend folks go if they're interested by this, they want to learn more about what happened to JFK? Where do you recommend they go to learn the real scoop?
I tell you, there's quite a few places nowadays, but I think the JFK film itself is very spot on. The truth is even bigger than that one, but I think he does it in a very, very clever way. Unfortunately, it's edited almost like a rock video, so you need to see it several times because there's so many fast cuts and moving cameras and so on. But on the whole, that film shows a lot into it. Then there's another series of documentary series called The Men That Killed Kennedy. The Men That Killed Kennedy. That one is excellent, absolutely excellent, made by an English producer, very brave man, who went to Dallas and he was there for a year or two and looked more, so many of these people up that were still alive, and interviewed them and got them on camera and so on. So with that, that's, I think that's 4 or 5 hours, just that documentary. And if you look into those, you will get a very clear picture of what actually happened.
And so after John F. Kennedy, a few years later, we had Martin Luther King Jr. Can you give us a rundown about what your research has led you to find about the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr.?
I can just say that the reasons why John F. Kennedy is important, the reason why Martin Luther King is important, and Robert Kennedy and so on, is because they were killed by people who are still in power. If it had been a lone crazy guy, like they had said, if that had been the truth, and it was just that JFK was shot and dead and that's it, I would say, okay, fine. He was a nice guy and he was shot. I'm very sorry, case closed. But it's not, because the actual killers that did it are still in power. They are sitting today ruling us. You know, these guys, these white-haired guys who are now in office and so on, they didn't come from nowhere. And this is the thing, you need to track them back. You need to go back and study history to see what's going on, because otherwise you will just be confused of what is happening now. It's the same people, the same families are doing it to this day. It's the same people behind the JFK as were the ones that really got the Vietnam War going and kept it going. They were the ones behind 9/11. They were the ones putting the bombs in Oklahoma City. They were the ones behind the bombs in Madrid that I'm sure you haven't even heard of. They were the ones who killed Olof Palme and so on. It's the same power elite. And this is why it's so important. That is why I put myself on the line here. Because this is not, like you say, it's not dangerous. This is shit scary when you get out there. But it's so important to expose this group, because they are moving forward and they're doing it to us on a daily basis. And especially you in America at the moment, you are front line. You are really front line for the rest of the world, I would say, because what they're trying to do with all these mass shootings, so-called mass shootings and all of that, is to de-arm the population. Your country is the only one where the population is armed. So they have a problem with that. They have a massive problem with that. If you fall, or if you give up all your arms to this group, because this group that is now in power, they are super, super, super criminal on a scale that you cannot even grasp until you really get into it. It's mind-blowing how criminal these people are. Even though they look really nice on TV and they got nice suits and a nice car and whatever,
right,
when you look behind the scenes, it's incredible what's going on. Absolutely incredible. And one of the methods that they use is, it was an old Roman tactic called problem, reaction, solution. And this they carry out again and again and again. Can I go into that just a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. Go ahead.
Because this is one that you should become aware of. Once you become aware of it, you will start seeing how it's done, and you will start not buying into the official version right away, but it will make you like, whoa, wait a second, let me see. And before I buy the official story, let me just look a little bit around and see the evidence and so on. Okay, problem, reaction, solution. These are the three steps. If you go back in time, like in Chile and so on, when the military junta, supported by you, the United States again, if you look how they did it, there was an elected president, but what they did was, with military power, overnight they just shot everybody in the government, and the military took over, put their own president there, a military guy, Pinochet, and that was good. I mean, good in their point of view, because in a very quick time they had taken over power. They were in a power position. They were where they wanted to be, but it became so messy for them, because what they had to do was they had to control the whole population. They had problems with guerrilla movements, underground movements, demonstrations. They had to put all of these thousands of people in jail, and then they had to torture them to get the information about the rest of the groups out, and then they shot them. Then they had problems with their families because they were giving them a hard time, you know, because, what did you do to my son? What did you do to my brother? It was just messy. They had to have almost as many soldiers and police officers in the streets as there were population. So that was not the way to go. Instead, what you do is that you secretly place a problem. For instance, say that I'm the one in power now. Let me say that I'm in the White House now, okay? My agenda is that I want the police to have unlimited power. I want the police to be totally military. Well, I'm describing your situation almost, but if you go back 10 years ago, this would be unheard of. Anyway, we say in Spain instead, I'm the guy in the president of Spain. If I put tanks in the streets, if I made the police just be able to kick in doors, have cameras everywhere, take anyone, put them in jail for unlimited time or space without a lawyer, without that, I would have a massive problem with the population. If I just did it without any reason, I would also have problems with other countries and the United European Union and so on, because they might do financial boycotts and stuff of my country. So that's not the way to do it. The way to do it is that I secretly place, either nowadays it's mass shootings or bombs. These are the two ones that are in the trend at the moment. So I secretly place a bomb, and it's very important where I place this bomb. Because I need an emotional reaction, not a logical reaction, but emotional reaction. So I place this bomb not in a place for old people or war veterans or handicapped or anything like that. No, no, no. I need to handpick, you know, like a daycare center, or it's women and children. That's the key factor. Women, right, and children, sometimes nurses and nuns, to get the reaction from the public. Okay. And it's also very important that I, when the bomb is explodes, it needs to be early in the morning, so that people are, they've hardly woken up, they're still in the middle of breakfast and so on, because that's when they're most vulnerable. So very often these so-called acts of terror are carried out in the morning, and the bomb is placed exactly where we'll get the strongest emotional impact. So there's always women and children involved. Okay, or now they're also going for patriots, you know, so to get the patriot thing going. So it could be like a military, like now with the naval yard shooting or something like that, to get the patriot feeling going. Anyway, in the meantime, while I'm preparing this bomb, I'm also preparing a patsy. And this patsy needs to work well in media. So they, in the 60s, it used to be East Germans and Russians in the Cold War. Then when the Cold War ended, they needed to change the look of the boogeyman. So they went for the Muslims, because they work really well on media. They're dark, most of them. They can have a big mustache. They have a world like Abdul Karim Karumka Skupalap or something like that. That sounds really strange. And also they come from a country that most people can't even spell the name of. So these people are really good as patsies, because also the way we've been pumped is that Islam equals terror. Islam equals terrorist. That it's been so pumped into our subconscious. It's absolutely not true. So not true. Anyway. So, and nowadays they change it from the Muslims. They've been, so that has sort of worn out a bit, the Muslim one. It doesn't work so well anymore. So now they've gone into it so that it can look like anyone. He can be blonde and blue-eyed, or he can look like a geek or be very peaceful, so that it goes into the subconscious. You can't trust anyone. Right. It could be your neighbor. I need even more protection, because this is the whole thing. Anyway, so I prepare the patsy. And this could be like a green parrot, something. You just make it up. It could be a group of yogis. It could be a group of whatever group that they want to, they have a problem with anyway, most of the time. It could be the Mormons or something like that. Let's say that I pick the Mormons and I say, they have, I leak this out in media. They have meetings on Wednesdays. Yes, they have. And they listen to this man. He's got a beard, and they follow what he says, okay? And then maybe they have hidden guns under the house that they meet. And if he says, come here on Sunday, they will just follow his orders. This is a dangerous group. They leak these things out in media so that the public goes, that's a weird group. That's a bit strange, isn't it? So that you prepare the subconscious for it. So the patsy is prepared. Also, I prepare evidence that is pointing towards this group, so that as soon as the bomb explodes, it would point that way. Okay. In the meantime, also before I let the bomb explode, I put my own investigation on standby. This investigation consists only of my people, people that I can control. And what they do is, as soon as the bomb explodes, they move in, poof, right into the into action, and they push away all honest, normal, decent investigators, police, detectives. All of them are pushed to the sides, and in goes my people. Okay. At the same time, I also prepare a drill so that the exact same scenario as is going to be carried out in real life is being used as a drill as well. And very often the patsy is being tricked into being in that place because he thinks it's only a drill. It's only like a film shoot or whatever.
Right.
But he's actually part of becoming the one that is being blamed for this whole thing. Okay. So what I do, I got the bomb in place. The timing is perfect. I got media on standby, media which I control to a very large extent. And so 9:15 or something like that, yes, he's had his coffee and he's on his way. Boom, there it goes. It explodes, and I pump out these horrific images in media saying where of the children that are killed and women that are blown to pieces and blood everywhere. And so to create the reaction from the public saying, oh my God, something needs to be done. Something needs to be done. And they turn towards me, who they've elected to take care of these things, and says, sort it out. You need to do something. And then I, who secretly created the problem, will say, well, the only way I can deal with these Mormons is with tanks in the streets, with military force police that can kick in doors, that can take away all liberties, that can do all of these things. And the population will say, but please do it, you know? Like, they're just pushing for their hands, like, handcuff me, control me even more, give me more surveillance cameras. Just do it. Something has to be done. And then I move my agenda forward, boom, in there, and I kick out this group of, who did I say, Mormons? I take care of them, you know? And what I do is, in the meantime, one thing is that the public get used to see the tanks in the streets and all of these. And then once everything is solved, what I pull back, but I don't pull all of it back. I leave like 20% there for your protection. It's because so that you will be protected. But protected from whom? You should be protected from me. And that is why it's so important to wake up to these things, to see what is going on. And you can see with these mass shootings, for instance, like, I'm not even sure that there is one single real shooting. I'm not sure about that. There might have been some in the beginning, but for sure the last, I don't know how many, have been absolutely fake. It's staged, filmed events where it's not even real people. It's not even real victims anymore. And I think one of the reasons why they started with actors is that if you do commit an atrocity like that, you blow like a couple of hundred people up in an airplane or something like that, and from that day on, you who did it have a problem, because the mothers of these people, or the parents, or the family and friends, they will not give up, especially not mothers. They will keep breathing down your back until they find out what actually happened. And when you, so if you commit these kind of things on a regular basis, suddenly you have like thousands of people who are really, really giving you a hard time. So I think that is one of the reasons they started using actors. And now you can even go to their website. It's called crisisactors.org.
Right.
And then there are several of these where they, when you look into them with a Farmer Brown logic, I mean, I only go for that logic. If it, 1 + 1 = 2, it doesn't matter what a fancy robe or title or whatever you have, it's 2. That is the truth. If you tell me it's 34, I will just not believe you, because it's not true. And this is where, once again, people have to wake up and just make up their own mind. Look at the evidence. I mean, it's incredible that if somebody had made a film script saying that, well, we're going to fly a plane into Pentagon, but we will actually send a missile, but to dupe people, we would just say that the plane, we will leave a few parts outside, so that, but if people keep telling me, we will just tell them that it vaporized. The heat was so intense, so the whole plane vaporized. You would laugh your head off. It's just so bad. It's so badly done. But we buy into it because we're just being pumped with it again and again and again and again. And this is when you look into these crime scenes. I always go to these places just with a totally open mind and just see what happened. You know, if you have an explosion here, the epicenter of the explosion would be in the center and everything will be blown out from that side. But when you look to these places like the Boston bombing or anything, doesn't make any sense at all. There's no, the evidence do not match up at all, at all. And then you start seeing the same people, even the same actors in Aurora, in Sandy Hooks, in Boston, they're using the same people. It's so clumsy. It's so clumsy. But I think they're trying to keep it limited to a small group of people, because the fewer you have to control or deal with, the better for them. But it's really, really badly done nowadays, which is wonderful for somebody like me, because it's so obvious.
It's so easy, right. And I suppose that's kind of where I'm going now. I mean, just hearing you break this down, a phenomenal breakdown. I mean, so many different quote-unquote attacks come to mind in the U.S. over the past 20 years, with the first World Trade Center bombing, Oklahoma City, 9/11, Aurora, Sandy Hook, all these different things. Now, Aurora may not be part of that, but I know for the other ones I mentioned, they were all running drills. The Spain the what was it, Madrid, Spain, the train bombings there, yeah. right? The London bombings. I mean, all of these terror bombings, they all fit the description exactly of what you said. They're running a drill. They've got the actors. They create the problem. They know the reaction and come in with the solution. Another thing that was interesting was it sounds like you're breaking it down textbook. Operation Gladio, which, correct me if I'm wrong, Ole, didn't the U.S. and NATO get caught with an Operation Gladio type of situation in Italy in the 1980s where they were blowing up buses with women and children and the Italian government stood up and said no more? Do you know anything about that there?
Yeah, I know a lot about it. It was actually in 1991 that it was discovered by a lawyer, an Italian lawyer called Felice Casson, who found out that the Italian government had approved of that the Gladio, Stay Behind Gladio network was in action in Italy. And it was actually 10,000 small groups of like 8 people that were just all over Italy. And Stay Behind, it's very interesting that you say it. I call them Stay Behind, but you call them Gladio, whatever. They got many different names. Stay Behind was created, very important to hear this as well, it was created in the it was just after the Second World War, 1947, the National Security Council had a meeting where they decided that they would build like a ghost army, like a hidden, invisible guerrilla movement in all NATO countries. To join NATO, you have to accept to create a part of the Gladio network as well. And so this network has been built up in all of the NATO countries, most European countries as well, where they have built up, it's like I said, it's small groups of 8 to 10 people. They've got hidden supplies of fuel, they've got hidden supplies of food, weapons, all of these things, radio equipment, so that should the country be invaded, I mean, it used to be the Russian threat, should the country be invaded, the whole resistance movement would be in place so that they could just smuggle out the leadership of the country, and then the whole resistance could be controlled from London, where this whole network was controlled from. But what happened was that this network was also built up by Richard Gehlen, who was a high Nazi officer. He was one of the people being imported from the Nazi war machine. America brought out loads and loads and loads of these extreme Nazis.
Operation Paperclip, right?
Operation Paperclip. And you got them to the States. We're talking thousands and thousands of them, where they were part of creating the OSS, which later became the CIA. They were also part of creating NASA and so on, and the whole Stay Behind network. And what happened was that you had so many right extremist, you know, Nazi type of people, mercenaries, all of these things, in many of these NATO countries, where they became like a... they started using them as a terror tool instead, like a sword, to inflict fear into society so that society would be asking and craving for more and more protection. So the Stay Behind movement are behind, I mean, I don't know how many so-called acts of terror in Europe and other places. And also many of the mercenaries and the assassins that I'm talking about are picked from this network of the people. It's like the CIA have been working with what they call the strategy of tension to create fear, to inflict fear in society by so-called terror acts, you know, bombs in train stations. They always do it in public places so to get the maximum impact and just innocent people being killed. So this is a very crucial, this Stay Behind movement.
Just kind of in closing, let's talk about today. Let's talk about where we're going and what your thoughts are on it. What I like to cover on my show, just kind of seeing the product of social engineering in this country, it is mind-boggling to me that with all of this stuff out in the open, all you got to do is just, you know, type in a couple of words in a search engine and you can start learning the truth. You can start figuring out what's really going on in the world, or at least get a much better idea than what we're being told by politicians and the corporate media and things of that nature. I find it mind-boggling, or did rather, I suppose I'm kind of getting used to it, that even today it seems that there are so many people in the USA that just do not want to hear it. It's too much. It's too scary. I've had people tell me they don't want to know the truth about 9/11 because it's too scary. And they are going to continue down this road to destruction, being willfully ignorant. And a lot of people are led to believe that that means, you know, we're coming. We're going into this global government, this new world order, this neo-feudalism serf-like state. But I tend to look at it a little differently. I feel that if we look at our monetary system, especially in the U.S., the world reserve currency, fiat, backed by nothing, being printed into oblivion, these weirdos in charge, the powers that shouldn't be, they know that the game is about up. This way of life, where you can just print unlimited money worth nothing and spread it around everywhere, and other nations are going to take it. I feel like they understand that this is coming down. This house of cards is crashing down. But I also feel like that is the time where these people around the world, who no matter how hard we try to talk to them and present real information to them, they don't care. I feel like when that dollar dies, when we experience economic collapse, even global economic pandemonium, that will be, if you will, the kind of the straw that breaks the camel's back. Like, that's when humanity is going to want to know information like you just brought up on this show, and all kinds of other info like that. Can you give the audience your thoughts on my view there, and then let the audience know what your thoughts are as far as what we're facing and what do you think's coming our way?
Do you know, if you look at energies in the universe, everything is energy, and you got very low energies like whoa, 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 and you got very high levels of energy. And the highest form of energy is what is called love. You can measure love. It's super high. And the lowest ones is fear, real, real, real fear. And these two cannot coexist at the same time. It's either the one or the other. But when you look, if you try in a laboratory and put the two, a very high frequency and a very low frequency, if you put them together, the low frequency just disappears. It's just like when you put on a light bulb in a dark room, boom, it's light. There's no struggle. There's no, the energies are not trying to sort of fight each other and meet in the middle. It just gets annulled. The higher level of energy will just get annulled. And I feel that this might sound new age or something like that, but I feel the energy that we feel, the more we are in gratitude and the more we are in love, instead of being in fear, this group is trying to keep us in fear all the time. That is why we're being bombarded by TV and movies and whatever it is to just be afraid, down in the energy, down, 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 down. But if we in this situation, which looks very scary, I totally agree with that, but if we can focus on to just feel gratitude, the more we can feel gratitude, the more we lift it. And I tell you, the surroundings around you will change. If you go out and you're fearful, you will attract fearful situation, you will attract fearful people and so on. But if you fill your heart with gratitude and empathy and compassion, slowly around you, it will start changing. And I think they made a lot of different tests and so on, that if you got one person who is really high in energy, that equals out so, so many other people who are still asleep. So don't worry about the other ones. You can't force anyone to wake up. And it's very painful for many people as well to wake up. It is painful. So just focus on yourself. Lift yourself. Do not buy into these so-called terror acts. During all of these years that I've been working on this, I haven't even encountered one single real terrorist, I think. I don't think there is one. They're all the time, they're funded, trained, equipped by the same group of people. And the FBI is so central when it comes to your country. they're the ones creating all of these, training them, supplying them with weapons and bombs and all of these things. It's from the inside. So anyway, so when it comes to the future, I am super optimistic, because now is the time where we can change this. It's time for us to stop the madness. It's time to wake up. The key word is to wake up, see what is happening. It's like when you look at a magician and he's showing something with the left hand, and suddenly you discover that he's doing it with the right hand. From that time, as soon as he's exposed, you won't buy into it anymore. Right. And this is why I put such emphasis on trying to expose these false flag operations and psyops and so on, to just say to people, whoa, wake up. It's time to wake up. Check what's going on.
Right.
See, do not buy into it. Do not. The next time Obama goes out and say, oh, we had a mass shooting here, and oh my God, you need to, it's the weapons' fault. You need to give up all your weapons. You need to just lie down and die, and we will just take over without anyone saying it. Do not do that. What, I've seen so many beautiful examples. There was, I don't know if you saw that, there was this lady in Arizona who was stopped in a road block. There was this guy who just wanted to search her car.
Mm-hmm.
But what she had done was she had informed herself about what was legal and what was illegal, what was her rights and what was not his authority. And so, and it was one of the major things is this thing with the mobile cameras. When people use their cameras, their cell phone cameras, to be able to film what's going on, it's super, super. Did you see the one I'm talking about where this woman, this border guy, it wasn't even a border. I mean, it's one of these roadblocks in right in the middle of the States. They put all of these things up. And he says, please, ma'am, can you step out of the car? We need to search your car.
Right. I don't think I'm familiar with that exact incident, but there's so many of them going on in the U.S. right now, but I am familiar with how they roll in Arizona, put in the border patrol hundreds of miles away from the Mexican-American border with these unconstitutional, unlawful checkpoints where they violate your constitutional rights. And I do understand what you're saying, though. More and more people are becoming informed of what is lawful and what is not lawful. And it takes, you know, not being scared and asserting your rights. Once they know that you're not going to play these games and you're not going to let them intimidate you and scare you, well, you know, the game is kind of up. And unfortunately, right now, our police force, a lot of folks in the Border Patrol and these other agencies, they too are just products of social engineering. These groups hire the sycophant, thug, power-hungry type people, and that's who's running the show from law enforcement. So I think it's very important for us to keep that in mind as individuals when we run across these people. But at the same time, like you're saying, Ole, I agree 1,000%. Fear is the mind killer. We cannot let fear get the best of us. Is there anything else that you've left out or that you want to touch on here briefly?
You said, is there anything else I want to say? There is. If I could please speak directly to people in uniform.
Yeah, feel free.
I would like to approach the people in uniform. It doesn't matter if you're a soldier or a police officer or security or whatever it is. Please inform yourself whose agenda you are serving. You have been duped. You have been tricked into thinking that you are doing the right thing, that you are like a police officer doing the right thing for freedom and democracy and so on. Most of you are being used big time. And I just want to say, to terrorize your own population, there's no honor in that at all. It is absolutely not okay. And history will not look with mild eyes on actions like that. So inform yourself. Please, please, please inform yourself what is going on. The same with soldiers. You are being used with lots of pretty words, fighting for freedom and democracy and saving other countries. It's absolute bullshit. It is absolute bullshit what you're being fed. You are being used as brutal enforcers pushing forward the agenda of greedy bankers who could not care less about you. You are an empty uniform to them. As soon as you don't fill their need, you're out. So inform yourself. Don't soil your soul by committing a lot of atrocities because you're giving orders by this group that is, if you look at it, they're totally mad. It is madness what is going on. So inform yourself before you do anything more. Get out. Stop it. You are responsible for your actions. Doesn't matter if anyone else has given you an order. You are responsible. And once again, what is committed in Afghanistan or Iraq or all of these places, there are no honor in that. It doesn't matter if it's called Operation Freedom or Operation Stardust or whatever they're pushing into your mind so that they can use you to their best benefit. We need to stop this madness. We need to stop it. All of us, it's time to wake up. Wow. And I can only say after that, also I would like to speak directly to the elite as well.
Go ahead.
I can totally understand if you are very fearful of us. I mean, if you are in a position where you think, oh my God, we are going to be lynched once the population finds out what really has been going on for such a long time. There is a real possibility of that. I can see that. At the same time, I, for one, as one, I'm totally for the Mahatma Gandhi way, the Martin Luther King way, where also the truth and reconciliation in South Africa, where, yes, awful things has been committed, but there's only one way to move forward, and that is forgiveness, compassion, these beautiful things, but with transparency, the truth has to be revealed. The truth has to come out so that the body can heal itself. So don't, I for one, will embrace anyone who steps down and leaves this group of absolute total madness. The main thing is that we stop this. And then on the other side, we can become brothers and sisters. We can have a cold beer, celebrate that you had your go, we had your go. It's over. It's game over. So I welcome you to just stop it.
No army, as they say, can stop an idea whose time has come. And at the same time, I believe that they don't control us. We empower them by joining their military, by watching their television, by eating their slop food, by using their credit cards and their banks. The more we do as individuals to get away from that, the less power these wannabes have. They know that. They're scared. It's just a matter of time before humanity catches on. Ole Damogord, thank you so much. Folks, check out his new book, Coup d'etat in Slow Motion. And you can find it right at lightonconspiracies.com. Lightonconspiracies.com. We'll have a link right below the podcast here so you folks can check that out on your own. What you heard was over 30 years of hard work, 30 years of research. Please consider donating to his cause over at lightonconspiracies.com. Also, Ole is looking for help. If you know of anyone or you yourself are interested in helping produce documentaries, helping represent Ole to get the word out about his work and trying to do things to get the information out, well, let him know. I'll put the link down below for an email address so you guys can get a hold of Ole Damogord. A great interview. I tell you what, that's about all we have for this podcast here. Trying to get it out a little early, getting the word out there. I hope you folks enjoyed it. We're going to be back on Sunday night live, OrionTalkRadio.com, 11 p.m. Eastern time. The phone lines will be open. So if you heard something here that you enjoyed or you want to talk more about, call in on Sundays. Until then, my name is Ryan Brooks. This was The Sound of Freedom. Have a good week, everybody.